Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hurdle Apparel. High-tech supportive socks. LER, Lower Extremity Review. And MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. Hey, everybody. Happy leap year. We got a great doubleheader today. One of our faves is returning, Dr. Denise McDermott. She's an adult and child psychiatrist. She's an award-winning podcaster. She's a contributor to my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And she'll be joining me along with Lisa Geraci Rigoni. She's a chief physical, mental organizing, and declutter specialist. And then the sports doctor's in, some Bob Guider wisdom, your emails. Dr. Denise, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. You know, give us some quickie background on yourself and the your adult child psychiatry world and your podcast.
Thank you. So first of all, shout out to everyone in Chi-Town. I grew up in Schaumburg, Illinois. I'm a mother. I'm an adoptive mom. I played sports growing up. I played soccer. I lifeguarded. I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist, UCLA trained with humility. My son has trained me the most. I'm also very addicted to swimming. I'm in the pool 6 to 7 days a week to keep my mind at the top of my game. And I'm also known for prescribing the least amount of medicines, holistic health. I'm saying that I now practice universe medicine, really tapping into that mind game that you've been talking about all the years that you've been on radio.
Yes, you know, Dr. Denise, it's interesting, you know, when you mentioned the term, we talked about that. I don't know if you were on the show 5 years ago, 6 years ago, a little bit longer. You know, we talked about the holistic psychiatric world, the tremendous challenges, both mentally and physically, and the positive side of things of mental training. When you contributed to the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, you really, you wrote about youth athletics as mind medicine. You know, a great topic that I want to touch upon with you, but the family relationships, the tremendous pressure, you know, you and I, we talked about the, oh my God, social media, what you already were talking about that kind of challenge. So, mental health is the biggest topic in the world, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so I will tell you right now, this is a very tough time of year for people. I have many people in crisis. I work with children, teens, adults. I've got people, you know, dealing with anxiety. I've also worked with athletes, a lot of athletes here in Manhattan Beach in the different professions of all ages. And I think one of the biggest modern day challenges is we're more connected via online, but a lot of people, all the Harvard studies show, people are feeling lonely. So whether or not you need to see a psychiatrist, a therapist, a mindset coach, a lot of people need to learn how to access their good nutrition, their sunshine, their altruism, their particular type of food that works best for their metabolism. And I also think people need to take the shame out of talking about it. So since you and I've known one another, I've kind of grown up and I now have registered trademarks on the concept Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. And I've done multiple shows on that. And just even the word Embrace Your Neurostyle, everyone has a unique way that they process and perceive the world. All sentient beings, humans, animals, and people, when you say neurostyle, style, it gives hope. It gives a segue into taking the shame out of talking about your feeling states. And
you
I
know,
think
again, when you mentioned that, so
block.
Yes, the lifestyle and well-being for life. You know, when we spoke about some of these different challenges and the incredible newness of the even the term mindfulness, you know, medicine didn't know how to spell that, I don't think, 20 years ago. But the idea that the perceived processes, you know, when you had the biggest athletes in the world, Simone Biles with the Olympics and the gymnastics story, Michael Phelps, the great swimmer, like you love swimming, talking about their mental challenges and making a big deal about how important it was, I felt that was of tremendous help in bringing the topic really up front and personal.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to express gratitude to all the Paradigm Progression pioneers as athletes, yourself, for going into topics that a lot of people have a lot of shame about. And I think one of the modern day challenges is how do we pace ourselves? And that's in fitness, that's in day-to-day life. Today, I moved my whole schedule to telehealth in order to have the best day. My son was sick last week for 4 days, and I have to be at the top of my own mental game. I've got 3 patients in crisis right now. I started to have a little bit of a mild fever today, but I'm just kind of, we have
yeah,
to
how old is your son? How old is your son now, Dr. Denise?
Almost 15, going on 20-something.
Yeah, I was gonna say good luck.
He's addicted to weightlifting right now. He's addicted
to
weightlifting.
Good for him, you know. Just make sure the kid's in the right shoes and he strengthens his feet and ankles. You know, that's my tip from the sports doctor for Dr. Denise. When we were first on the radio, I think he was 6. I'm trying to remember.
I think you're right.
Well, you talk about how, yes, being the mom has taught you more than all the different courses you might have taken at UCLA.
I did do a series called My Son, My Teacher, and listen in coaches, listen in parents. I think we match up with the life experiences that teach us how to go into the suffering. My son had a lot of sensory challenges when he was younger, a lot of high activity level, and the neurostyle word was a game changer for positive reframing of his sensory style. He's now thriving in the right school, working out 6 days a week, holistic health. As a parent, I make time for him. A lot of people have mental health challenges because they're not honoring balance, the concept of balance. How are you the best coach? How are you the best grandparent? I don't think people know how to say no. I think that's one of the things we also need to add to our tips in the toolbox.
You know, it's interesting, you know, the book that you contributed to with our great co-author, the Hall of Fame volleyballer and podcaster and coach, Sharkey Zartman, the importance of being able to pay attention to some of the different challenges that we would run into, whether you're the parent of, whether you're the coach of, whether you're the young individual, the young athlete themselves, and trying again to be paying attention to this magic word, balance. Want to ask you more about that in a minute. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, I'm behind, but we still got years worth of shows. And you could see the array of topics, the international, national, local guests, tremendous mixture of topics. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, lots of great stuff going on with MVP Magazine, with Low Extremity Review, all sorts of different articles, lots of different experts. We have thousands of followers, and you can catch up with us if you want to go to sportsdoc.com. We're talking psychiatry, adult and child, holistic with Dr. Denise McDermott, who is a homegrown, she was Illinois. I was going to tell you, I don't know if you would have survived a couple of days ago, like 10 below zero, and you were out in sunny California, but it's great to have you back. How has medicine, in and out of sports, et cetera, responded to the term neurostyle, Dr. Denise?
Oh, thank you for asking. I was asked to contribute to a magazine back in 2019 and kind of the champion mindset idea. I think the word neurostyle in general is a shame changer when you say your neuro style, it opens up. You can use it when you say, this is my style during a holiday. This is my style as an athlete. And specifically with the honor of contributing to yours and Sharkey's amazing book, I spoke about that, that different children, different adults have different neuro styles and sensory perception. They might like an individual sport. They might like a team sport. They might like doubles. So part of the neuro style awareness starts at a very young age when you're trying out all the different sports. When I grew up, very different in the Midwest. A lot of times people played different sports for different seasons. What I've noticed from a neurostyle standpoint, I know you can really weigh in on this with your expertise, is a lot of times people focus in on one sport pretty soon. And I think athletes in general, in my office and out of my office, really have trouble striking that balance where they're also able to have fun.
Well, yeah, we all recommend in sports medicine, everybody, that children grow up playing multiple sports, use different parts of the body, enjoy different situations, challenges. However, this is a chapter in my book. I call it the prodigy sports. And again, if you're thinking about gymnastics, you could throw swimming in. Absolutely, figure skating. Otherwise, you have, again, 10, 11-year-olds. This is what they want to do. They don't want to play other sports. So the challenges then become one of, you know, paying attention to these things. But, of course, Dr. Denise, you know, what's the best site, area, people could find out about you, your podcast, and all your work?
Thank you. DrDeniseMD.com. And also,
you know,
the Dr. Denise Show, the Dr. Denise Show on all podcast platforms, and now I'm starting to record video content as well.
Yes, the you're an educator, you know, and the idea, you know, we talk an awful lot on the three ideas many times on the Sports Doctor, which is awareness. What are we talking about? What are the problems? What are the challenges? Education. Paying attention with all sorts of different experts, different areas, and then making some positive changes. You know, stress is such a challenge today. And again, like you're talking about, sometimes this time of year and whatever. And when you throw in youth sports, the more talented that boy or girl is, the more we start seeing some of these pressures. What do you mean you're taking anti-inflammatory medicine 5 times a week so that you can work out 10 days a week? These kinds of, we all picture the overzealous parent on the sidelines or the crazy coach. So I guess we go back to that word you just said, balance.
Yes, and also when I'm just listening very carefully to your words, the embrace your neurostyle and beyond concept is about a balance of the multi-dimensions of who we are. Biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual, and sixth sense intuition. And when we're talking about being an athlete or just being a happy weekend athlete, I like to look at adaptive versus restrictive perfectionism. And adaptive is you're having fun and you're being safe and you're having balance in all those dimensions.
And the fact that you can, and again, in sports at the highest level, mental training is such a big deal. You know, the idea of rest and recovery, again, such a big deal, reducing stress. All of these areas have a lot to do with optimum performance and just, again, trying to, you know, deal with problems as they come up and try to learn some of these different systems. Do you feel, Dr. Denise, that pediatrics, general medicine, the primary care are starting to pay more and more attention to these values, especially not that drugs aren't important in sports. You can't spend 5 minutes without seeing a drug commercial. But the idea of all of these other areas, especially the holistic side, it's great to see attention being paid to this. That's why I keep having you back on the show.
Well, I have to be really honest with you. I'm so glad I went to medical school, but I really don't even quite, I know I'm a Western medicine board certified adult and child psychiatrist, but I really view myself in such a different way. And so I think where I live in Southern Cal, I think people are ahead of it. The mental game has been discussed. It's integrated into our schools, but I still think there's a long way to go on a lot of different states and also a lot of different countries. I think the concept of being proactive versus reactive is one that's just caught on, I'd say, in the last 10 to 15 years.
you know, it makes so much sense. Again, the idea, the mind body, which again is so popular now in fitness centers and all of these different attention. Again, trying to stay healthy as we age. You know, on the sports doctor, I call it the new medicine, Dr. Denise, which is number one, eat smarter. Number two, keep moving, whatever it is that you enjoy doing. And number three, try to help reduce stress as best you can at all different levels. And I think, you know, whether it's the school systems or the regular medicine continues to pay more and more attention to this. When it comes to, we just got to include it.
Well, can I just be in this moment? Every single moment of now is the only moment we have. So whether you're an athlete, a coach, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, right now, any moment, I create rituals throughout my day, just like you do when you play a sport. So in between an appointment, I clear things. I have maybe a good glass of water. Sometimes I put my hand on my heart. So between going into what I'd call change of scenery, I do a more focused intention. When you're more focused in the moment of now, that's the key. That's the game changer to reducing stress.
Well, that's interesting. Again, it sounds so simple, so much easier said than done. But again, awareness that you just hit that note on the head. I knew we'd fly by with you. Dr. Denise McDermott, give us again the site and people can find out about you and your podcast.
DrDeniseMD.com, and I'm on all podcast platforms in over 190 countries, and I'm actually incredibly inspired and grateful by you and your body of work. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great. You know, you're on our roster. Hold on, Dr. Denise. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Welcome back to Chicago. We want to welcome Lisa Geraci-Rigoni. She is the Chief Physical, Mental Organizing, and Declutter Specialist. Good luck to us all here. Lisa, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, there's not a team, there's not a sports family. I was one of them where some sort of organization or importance of knowing what the heck, having a plan, whatever, wasn't a big deal in all aspects, whether you're trying to stick with your resolutions or whatever. So give us some background initially on yourself and your whole this mental organizing, declutter topics.
Okay, well, I'll sum it up in as succinctly as I can. So,
excellent.
I grew up in a big sports family. I have three brothers, and we were all in every sport. We were also dancers, and I had a mom who didn't drive and dad who worked all the time. So, talk about organizing. I don't know. I really don't know how she did it. Very different now, for people. But I started organizing at a young age when I realized
you had to.
I had to, but for different reasons.
Yes,
I found out when I was 40 that I had ADD. So I used to organize to calm myself. So where the physical mental clutter comes in is sometimes you see the clutter, sometimes you feel the clutter, and sometimes both. So it's a cycle. So what I talk about and what I, what my system is and my book is about asking the questions why you're holding on to something. Excuse me. So oftentimes we don't know why. We're just disorganized. We can't do it. It just doesn't work for us. Well, not necessarily. You just have to take the time to ask the questions why, which is the hard part.
Interesting. Well, that's why I doubled you up with my adult and family psychiatrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Our first guest, Dr. Denise McDermott, again, mm-hmm. which was talking about all of these. I call it the mental game on the sports doctor. I've talked about it for decades, give or take a few weeks. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're a sports parent, whether you're a coach, whether you're just trying to stick with the diet that they're dealing with or your resolutions or whatever, the idea that this so much involves mental attention. We pay huge attention also on the sports doctor to the physical side of everything, of course, in the world of whatever your activities happen to be. But the idea then of adding that we can be aware, and awareness and education are two huge words, Lisa, on the sports doctor, and the awareness that I guess, that this disorganization and clutter is such a hassle. The idea many times, I guess, like you said, why? We don't pay attention to the fact of that this is making, maybe everything more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I like the tagline or the line I created, a couple of years ago. I just started saying it, and it pertains to everything. The stuff about your stuff is not about your stuff.
Yeah, you and George Carlin. I remember George Carlin.
The stuff. Oh my God! Yes. Yeah, he talks about stuff. Yeah, you buy more to create more to have more. Yeah.
Yes, and everybody rang true to so many different areas. What are some of the pearls that you believe people should be paying attention to in order to get started to pay attention to the this mental side of declutter and organization?
Let's see, some tools. You have to sit with yourself and be honest with yourself. Sometimes that's not fun. Yeah, you got to dig deep. You got to figure it out. And do you really want to do it? A lot of people say, they want to get organized. They want to get fit. They want to lose weight. They want to stop smoking. They want to stop eating. They want whatever. And you have to, like you said, it's a mental game, right? You have to sit. You have to decide. And do it. You know, I said that to myself just recently. I've been sick for a while, and I was like, I haven't exercised. I've been eating horribly. I've been, you know, okay, so am I going to sit there and keep doing it, or am I going to make a, you know, decision? I can't keep doing this. So it's all, we can talk to, I'm a mentor, right? The organizing mentors. We can talk to her blue in the face, helping someone, but they have to decide. You know, that it all comes down to what you really want with your life and who you want to be in your future self. Do you want to stay cluttered? Do you want to stay overweight and unhealthy, or, you know, walk in pain, you know, that sort of thing. So it's one of those just do it, which I do not like, but you really have to make the decision.
Well, the idea, again, of health and wellness is a big, big deal, big topic on the sports mm-hmm. doctor. You know, whether 80 is the new 60, whether 65 is the new 45 or 50, where people are trying to pay attention to be healthy and stay healthy mm-hmm. and be proactive in many, many different right. areas. And the idea, you know, the self-help industry has exploded mm-hmm. over the past couple of decades. Yet, every time I talk to various experts, whether it's how are we doing with child obesity, or how are we doing with obesity, or how are we doing, everybody rolls their eyes, the experts, they say in many, many ways we're still, so the education side is a big, and the awareness side is a big deal. And again, rest and recovery used to be such a tough sell. How come?
It's not anymore. People are doing more resting. And, you know, dying younger, all that, you know, I don't want to be a morbid, you know, conversation here, but it happens. And we sit around a lot more than we used to, I think, wait for things to happen.
And the pandemic has times 100. There's not a guest I have on, Lisa, whatever their vocation, wherever they are around the mm-hmm. world, they talk about how mental health is at the top of the list, right up there with all sorts of challenges and importance. And this is a huge paradigm shift, you know, the mm-hmm. awareness of how important this is and the idea that you can help paying attention, train these systems mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, whether it's therapy, whether it's psychology, you know, whether it is these different areas. How have you found in the areas in your experience of the general awareness of the population that, you know, wow, we got to pay attention to this. It can really be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think awareness is the key. And the good thing is that mental health is now talked about where it wasn't before. Like, I was just at a meeting just recently, and this woman was talking about, she's a very successful realtor, but she was talking about how she was in a deep depression. And she's talking about it, and she's like, this is the first time I'm sharing it. And we're all like 50, 60-year-old women that have either gone through something like that or can relate. And it's giving people the okay to do it. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't embarrassed to share their story because they think they're unique. And everyone's story is unique. But, you know, there's definitions for emotions and things that happen in your life because it happens to everybody, right? So I think that's wonderful that people are talking about it. For organizing, the Hoarders Show was one thing that created awareness. But I'm not like that. I'm not a hoarder, right? But then Marie Kondo came and showed that everybody has clutter. Everybody has clutter. I have clutter. There's stuff in my house I do not need, but it takes time to go through it. And it's emotional, right? And sometimes you're in fear because you don't want to go through those boxes that you've had for years, or the death of a spouse or a child or a divorce. There's a lot of fear going through that. Going through it, deciding to do it is a lot less scary than what we talk to ourselves about, the fear of what you're going to go through going through it. So I think talking about it, having more open conversations about it, and knowing you're not alone. You know, everyone's going through something, right?
Oh, it's the social media world. What's a good website? Yeah. Do you have where people can find out more about you and your work?
Of course, yeah. www.theorganizingmentors.com. And my book is on there. My little system, the LIT little system of organizing, is on there. And we do virtual appointments and live appointments, and, you know, can connect you to anyone in basically in the country if you need some help and guidance.
You know, it's interesting. Right at the beginning of our interview, you talked about growing up. You had with your brothers, everybody played sport. You know, and the idea again, the challenge, the financial challenge, and the idea again. If my son would get home at 9 o'clock after basketball practice, and he still had to be organized enough to do to be a student and whatever, and he handled it. And sometimes you know, we took that kind of thing for granted. Again, let alone the situation of, you know, the carpooling and the pressures on these parents. And again, and the more talented your son or daughter is, the more the pressures mount to start getting. The reason I co-authored the book, #HeySportsParents, was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. So the idea that organizing a family, maybe sitting down, coming up with a plan, maybe reading your book first, figuring out how they can help organize and take some of the pressure off everybody. What do you mean you got practice again? You know, all of this kind of stuff that we would see with the whole area. Youth sports is a big, big, big business.
My daughter was a travel volleyball player. I understand.
Yes. We saw the Olympic teams. We worked with the top men and women athletes.
Can't imagine.
And again, these kids, the 12, 13, 14, playing volleyball 14 days a week.
Right.
Sleep
and drink.
Exactly. And some of the different challenges, they had to be, again, organized in order to be able to deal with the traveling teams and the schedules and the different pressures. And then we would turn around, we would find out that half of them were taking over-the-counter pain medicine because there was so much overkill going on.
Right. Do you think a lot of that comes from the parents, though? The parents kind of living through the kids? So much pressure.
You know, well, this is, you know, the 2010 Men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist grew up here in Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek. And a month after he won the gold medal, we were so excited. I had his mother on as a guest. I said, "How did you know? It wasn't, you know, your goal, his goal." He said, "You know, Dr. Bob, but we had ice time at 6:30 in the morning. Evan was in the car with his gloves on, you know, every morning to go." I said, "What a great answer." But parental pressure and these interactions, again, this is why many times the idea of being able to organize all of these different challenges, I think, is a very important point to get across to these sports families.
Yeah, most definitely. And a lot of them are not. They have to be. You know, I always say everyone is organized. Even hoarders are organized. It's chaos. And but sometimes it makes sense to them.
Organized so, chaos.
I'm organized
gonna
chaos.
More, I'm going to ask you more about that. Lisa Geraci-Fagoni. We will be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is a well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking about declutter and the physical and mental organizing world with author Lisa Gerisi Ragone. Lisa, give us a little bit more of the points that you look to get across in your book, as well as your different consultation, whether it's with families or individuals. I'm imagining that, you know, big business as big a topic as parenting, as the sports world. What are some of the things, other things that you continue to pay attention to when you're exposing them to this whole importance?
Of being organized?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's very individual, I find. And just like every situation is different, every client is different, we're all experiencing the same thing, you know, if you think of it broad and, you know, huge, but everyone's individual situation is unique. I often say that
to
my clients.
How has social media exploded everything and gotten in the way with the good, bad, and ugly?
For organizing?
Right. Has it helped?
I think it's helped in certain ways and hindered in other ways, because people think everybody has perfect homes, like the, you know, Pinterest and HGTV TV or whatever the TV shows, and everybody has bins and perfect. People say that to me all the time. Oh, you're organized. Your house must be perfect. No, we live in our house. Everything has a place for the most part, but sometimes, you know, something hits the fan and the house blows up and we have to, you know, come back to it. So for people to know that your house has to work for you. I often say when we're going into a person's house or on a consultation call that just because you're hiring the experts, we're not the expert in your house or in your situation. So if we suggest something that doesn't work for you, you got to tell us, right? It's got to work for you. You're not going to hurt our feelings. We don't live there. You know, we give people permission to say, no, that's not going to work. Let's brainstorm and come up with something else. This is obviously not working for us, but
we need it
similar.
Do you get into the whole feng shui world? You know, that does that fit into the sometimes the spirituality side of hey, listen, you could make that maybe more pleasant, more easygoing environment.
Yeah.
Does any of that
not
make
really
sense?
Yeah, it does. The clients,
or is it overkill?
The clients that are gravitated towards the organizing mentors are not the Pinterest perfect people. I say that I love Pinterest. It's great to visit, like the Container Store. The Container Store overwhelms me. It's great to visit. Everything looks perfect. It's nice and clean. But most of my clients, that they just need calm. You know, like I said, the calm in within their chaos. And figuring out what works for them, so
you have them include,
they don't care where things are, as long as it's you know, good for them, for their family.
Do you find that again? You know, whether you have people include meditation, whether you have them include, hey, listen, you've got to sit and relax and pay attention. You mentioned that very early on.
The idea of
you know, sitting still. But how do you find the importance of including that, which is, you know, take 10, 15 minutes once, twice a day to yourself. Do you include that?
It depends on the client. Again, it really depends on the client. A lot of our clients are very stressed, very overwhelmed, don't know where to start in their space. They work a lot, or we work with a lot of older adults. So when they do rest, they're not resting. They're thinking about, and that's one of the reasons why I advocate for having a organized home, whatever that means to you, is because you can't sit down and rest because it's like, oh, I have all that stuff in that bedroom I haven't gotten to, or the piles of clothes are still there, or I can't find my work, my workout outfit. I can't find my keys. So you're always kind of stressed. So to be able to get to kind of a clean slate, not necessarily pristine clean slate, but to a point, then you can rest. But I started transcendental meditation a couple years ago with my daughter and my husband, and that helps. And so I'm a lot calmer with my clients, too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Helps. I'm a big fan. How is the interaction in the psychology, the therapy, or the psychiatry world mixed in with what? Because you're talking so much of these mental areas.
Yeah.
How's your interaction with that that medical and psychology side of things?
Wonderful. I love, there's the gentleman in my book, 17 Spatulas and the Man Who Fried an Egg. The Man Who Fried an Egg, I worked with him.
Where'd you come up with
months.
That title? Yeah.
Well, 17 Spatulas is a woman that I actually worked with who had 17 spatulas. And she taught me that to keep things that feel good in your hands. Doesn't matter what they look like to other people. And so we do that with all our clients. Doesn't matter what anyone thinks of what you have. Keep something that means something to you and serves a purpose, a positive, you know, good feeling purpose. And the Man Who Fried an Egg is a gentleman I worked with for 8 months with his therapist, going back to that. So that was very useful. We get a lot of referrals from therapists and because we work a little differently than organizers. Again, we're not the pretty organizers. We're the mental, the calm organizers. And he had a lot of trauma. He had a lot of issues going on. He lived in a three-story townhouse and couldn't go upstairs because that was a lot of the issues were. Couldn't work in his kitchen, you know, ate a lot of takeouts and, you know, frozen things. Slept on three yoga mats in the basement with books and stuff piled high. We went through a lot together in 8 months, and he became like a brother to me. And after 8 months working together, he called me one morning and he said, "Lisa, I just want you to know I fried an egg in my kitchen for the first time in 8 years." So that was pretty amazing. So organizing can change your whole life. It really can.
And I'm
it doesn't
glad
have to be
to
like
hear.
World change like that, but sometimes it does.
Well, I'm glad to hear, again, that relationship, again, between, you know, medicine and therapy. Because many times it's like, you know, the my first guest, Dr. McDermott, the adult and child psychiatrist, he was talking about, you know, the shame factor. The challenge of people talking about it, paying attention, being aware of, you know, these pressures that might be in so many different areas. And it's really good to hear that the medical profession, the psychology and or psychiatry side, the mental training has really started to pay a big attention because it seems to be a great marriage with that, with the idea of decluttering or organizing aspects of your life.
Yeah. If one area is messed up, you know, how can you focus on other areas? We get a lot of work from, you know, attorneys and legal attorneys and financial.
Oh my gosh,
you know,
sounds like another set of shows. I knew we'd fly through the time. Lisa, give us the website again. People can find out about you and the book and your work.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm on Amazon. The book's on Amazon, 17 Spatulas and the Man Who Fried an Egg. Went to number one almost a year ago in 11 categories. I'm super proud of that. And my website is TheOrganizingMentors.com, T-H-E, TheOrganizingMentors.com.
Lisa Geraci Rigoni, thank you so much. Hold on, Lisa.
Thank
Everybody
you.
Be right back. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks, Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle Socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we are back with the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows and guests. We add a little Bob Guida wisdom, and we answer a few emails. Next week, we've got a replay of a very popular show we did a few months ago with two of the leaders in limb prevention, podiatry, Drs. Larry Rubin and Dr. David Armstrong. Diabetes is such a scourge. What's amazing is the amputation world, 80% can be prevented with screenings and education. So these are two of the leaders, and they'll be with us next week with the replay. Taking a day off for my birthday, you know what I mean? Following week, from Australia, Craig Hubbard with the KISS Ankle System, K-I-S-S, the Kinetic System, will be joining us. And then following him, we're going to have some discussion with Mary Lou Guida. Talk a little bit again about some of the history of the late Bob Guida. You know, it's the second anniversary of losing Bob, my long time colleague in sports performance, sports therapy. One of the things that Bob talked about all the time, at all levels of sports, and even at all ages, he wanted to include strengthening of the neck area. And one of the fascinating exercises we see him doing, it might be the Olympic volleyball team. It might be John McEnroe. It might be Walter Payton. Who knows what athlete and or rehabilitative person. Balancing and walking on his famous oscillating balance beam. And maybe they had a football helmet on with a couple pound weight on the top of it. And that was part of the attention he was paying to the importance of strengthening that neck area. Whatever the sport, whether it was a football player, which was so apparent necessary, again, or a baseball player, whether it was a 14-year-old tennis player, he wanted to include that area in strengthening. He paid as much attention to that many times as he did to foot ankle, as he did to core strengthening. You know, rest in peace, my friend. We miss you. Where are some emails? Jerry. I'm a 45-year-old mom. My 11-year-old daughter is a fairly serious gymnast. She seems to have inherited my mom's and my flat feet. Is it a problem? You know, Jerry, it's one of the most common problem areas we see in sports podiatry. Not all flat feet hurt. Many of them do. The foot mechanics of excessive flattening of the foot, we call it excessive pronation. Pronation is a normal motion that initiates shock absorption, When you land on your heel, the foot-ankle complex begins to loosen up. The arch collapses. It's actually a motion in three directions at the same time. The foot is one of the initial absorption of shock. Half our weight, every step we take, you start running and jumping. Those forces double, triple, even increase more. And many times that excessive pronation causes problems. Excessive knee rotation, strain on the arch, sometimes shin splint problems. So, and again, often inherited. We'll see, gee, you know, the kid's got high arches, just like his dad and his grandpa. They've got a flat feet, just like his parents. So, and often you want to pay attention whether your daughter has discomfort or not to the importance of strengthening those feet. Often, even in gymnastics, which is a barefoot world, we might have that youngster in orthotics in all their shoes for optimum alignment and control. So we want to be proactive. 70% or so of the problems I see in sports podiatry, whatever the youth sport is, tennis, soccer, running, gymnastics, figure skating, it is excessive pronation related. So pay attention, include sports podiatry in the evaluation on your daughter's team, along with the physical therapy to strengthen those areas. And when we're talking gymnastics, you know, Todd mentions that he saw our sports doctors in segment on Run With It. Run With It is a great show hosted by Christine Blanchette out of British Columbia. It's a TV show, and it has for the past, gosh, 3-4 years, monthly, included my segment, which is the Sports Doctors In. And we talked a couple weeks ago about preventing overuse problems in walking and running activities. We talked about the importance of what's the best shoe for your individual foot mechanics. Again, like we mentioned before, are you flat-footed? Do you have high arches? What are the foot mechanics? Are you fit properly? 40 to 50% of our population is not even fit properly when it comes to the length and width or depth of the particular shoe. So these are some of the things we were stressing, as well as, hey, Happy New Year. What are some of the pointers to try to stick with your resolutions, trying to stick with some of your activity goals? You know, it's interesting, for years on the Sports Doctor, at the beginning of the year, we would include people from the athletic club, the sports club world, talking about the tremendous increase in the amount of people coming to the gym, including fitness, what they were doing as part of the New Year's resolution. And by the end of February, beginning of March, it was the same faces you always saw. So we talked about the importance of including a physical activity that you enjoy, whether it's walking, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's doing range of motion and stretching exercises at home. I'm a big fan of Healing Movement System, Joe Pinella's program. But you want to find out what you enjoy, pickleball, and then pay attention to being in shape so that you can enjoy this activity and not have to cut it out because you got injured or had an overuse problem. Pay attention. Be proactive. Thanks, everybody. Again, we'll see you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.